Nothing is off limits. While at the same time, I urge you guys to be cool.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Adam West, Adam West, a little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West, Adam West, Adam West.
But on the list of important things that you've done, you peaked in 1960, what was that, over 8? 1969?
When was... Kevin, I don't like your choice of words.
You know, man, the sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life. Hey, I can't stand it anymore. You're just a miserable dick now.
You're an idiot asshole.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What does the man in the street think? Let's find out.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Did I miss anything? You're just in time.
Roll another one.
Is this your idea of getting jiggy with it?
Just like the other one.
Black people, black people, black
this
people.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, ha
I need another hit.
Time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
But you don't care, do you, Whitey?
Roll another one.
Lisa, do I have my pants on?
Just like the other one.
One could say that, but should one?
This one seems to be about sense.
This is magical.
I don't have another cent.
Hey, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go Dodger!
I've just been nailed, 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 nailed.
Just pass it around.
Is that what's troubling you, friend?
Well, don't bother to join my friend.
But I want to do hula stuff for my friend.
Pass it on down.
And now.
Are you high?
No.
Look at me with your bloodshot eyes and say that.
Our feature presentation.
Look, we all just want to do hood rat stuff with our friends.
That's right. Right.
That's what it's all about. That's the message of the world today, right?
That's a universal. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 30th of August.
What's crackling, party people? Who has big plans for the Labor Day holiday weekend?
I have no plans.
I don't really either, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, some plans with friends, but nothing big.
Kevin, you're going to go to 27 movies, right?
Yeah, I like movies, sure.
Right.
Probably go to one a day.
I guess I win. I guess I have the best plans.
Really? You... What are your plans?
Excuse me, the best day of the whole year is tomorrow night. T-Swizzle.
Oh, God, I hate you. And so by excited. T-Swizzle, you mean Tadoff Switler.
I mean, it's been like a year since the last time I saw her. Saturday night. Tomorrow night, I'm going to see Taylor.
Man, you're creepy.
So there's nothing creepy about it. I love her. I love her, and I love her music. You
yeah.
know that.
Yeah. What about the rest of the crowd there, Bean? First of all, Bean hates crowds.
They love her, true. And they love her music, too.
Any crowd is bad. But can you imagine being in a crowd of teenage girls?
6'6" geek.
Right.
Probably alone.
Of
no,
course.
I'm taking my wife.
All the girls are screaming. And that's loud.
Yeah, what do you do? Do you go?
That's not your scene.
What do you do at the show?
I don't scream as much as I just swoon.
Oh, wow. My God.
Just love her so much. Hey, speaking of teenage girls. Got a story for you, like out of Oregon. This is a 911 call. This girl, I think, shows incredible composure considering she called 911 while her home was being invaded, while she was practically being attacked.
Oh my God!
She was able to survive, and you'll see that she handled it pretty well.
Hi there. I just have kind of a ridiculous question. I'm home alone, and there is a giant spider on the back of my couch.
Okay, so
what?
So she's calling 911 because there's a spider in her house. Please, before we go on, what is it about people with spiders? Why are people so afraid of spiders? I honestly don't get it.
I don't know why. I don't like them.
I'm okay with him. I don't want a giant spider. I mean, I'm not going to kill him, but a giant spider is a little creepy.
There are people who do freak.
Out over spiders.
And
yeah.
I think a lot of people do. And yeah. I don't know
but
why.
But I'm trying to figure out how that came from. I mean, look.
They're not pretty. They're
right,
not
but
cute.
They're not going to hurt you. They don't move fast. They don't attack you. They don't bite you. I mean, 99.9% of spiders are completely not only harmless, but they're beneficial to have around.
They saw arachnophobia.
That's
if
right.
If you don't want it in your house, pick it up and put it outside. Don't freak out, and certainly don't call 911.
Well, right, certainly, yeah. Step on it before you do that, right? That's your advice.
No, don't step on it. Let's see how the police handle this.
And I am talking giant. I have never seen a spider this big, and I have no idea what to do.
What's on the back of your couch?
A spider.
Poor officer couldn't even believe what he thought he heard.
Wait a minute.
It sounded like she said spider. I hope she meant raper, because I don't want to waste my time with a spider call, right?
There's no way.
As ridiculous as that is, I've just spent the last 20 minutes panicking. It is so big. I don't know what to do.
Like how big is like the size of a baseball or a golf ball?
Yeah, it's probably the size of a baseball.
Do you guys think the spider was the size of a baseball?
No,
I don't.
I don't know. I think it's probably the size of a BB.
I mean, tarantulas aren't the size of a baseball,
right.
And those are about the biggest spiders that you see, you know, in America.
It is huge. And someone in my family was just recently bit, and they thought it was a recluse spider. It was my mom. She had to go to the hospital, and she had, like, this nasty bite on her leg, and I'm walking to my room, and I see this massive...
Okay, but it wasn't a recluse spider, by the way, and your mom is fine.
Those are the ones where
those are the ones you have to really be concerned about. Yeah, those
because they bite you and like your they can kill you. Okay,
yeah, absolutely.
Freaking creature on the back of my couch, and I have no idea what to do, and I can't get hold of my parents, so I don't know if you guys have anything I can do, or if I just sit here and stare at it and wait for somebody at home to kill it.
I just love that she's a teenager. I mean, she sounds like she's got to be at least 16, 17, 18,
yeah.
Somewhere in there, right?
She sounds pretty calm, considering.
20 minutes she's been freaking out,
yeah.
And she can't get a hold of her parents, so she calls 911.
Yeah,
how afraid
choice.
Can she really be? What do you guys think, and we should have played How Does This Story End, what do you guys think the police are going to do for her?
Tell her to go in her bedroom and shut the door, I hope, and never call them again.
Yeah, I don't, they're not going to, there's no way they send an officer. That just can't warrant.
That would be an overreaction.
I would
and a
think
waste
so.
Of taxpayer dollars.
How does this story end?
How does this story end? I would say they just tell her to...
Move?
Move, yeah. Get a jar and trap it and put it outside or something. Or
she wouldn't get anywhere near it.
Hit it with a shoe.
Well, let's find out.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can...
He's thinking about it.
You just want someone to come out here and kill it.
I don't know if that's, like, ridiculous, but I'm usually not scared of stuff like this, but this thing is massive.
We got it. It's a big spider.
Okay. Well, I can have an officer contact you.
Okay. Is that ridiculous, or...
I mean... You don't feel safe disposing of it yourself, correct?
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. It's probably as big as my hand.
Okay.
Well, it's getting bigger. That spider is really growing. It's the size of my head, officer. Well, in the interest of time, an officer did respond to the scene.
What?
Estimated the spider, including the legs, was about 2 inches in diameter, by the way. So it was probably just a little wolf spider is probably all it was, which I see... I don't know, maybe once or twice a week in my home.
Yeah.
Modern police equipment, according to the article, is not necessary to handle the eight-legged perp in this case. The officer disposed of the spider with an old-fashioned rolled-up newspaper, police said. So apparently there was a fatality on the scene, and it was
wow.
The spider. They said they had to think she sounded cute, right? I mean, that's the only reason I can imagine. Like if it had been like a 60-year-old guy calling in for a spider, hey, deal with it, buddy.
Yeah, no question
I'm
about
sure.
That.
And just her age. Got
they sent
the
a police officer to the home because she had a spider on the couch.
Where
that,
was this being?
Oregon.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That happened. Good times.
That's how the story ends.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Amicho, shall we?
Sure, I like that. Yeah, why not?
We have Meta World Peace on the program today.
Yes,
how
we do.
How about that?
Former Los Angeles Laker, plays for the Knicks. He's going to do stand-up.
Yes, he is.
He's going to be a stand-up comedian at the Hollywood Improv. We're going to talk to him about that today.
I have doubts about that being successful.
You think?
I do.
Huge balls, though, on a guy that's known for something else. Who?
Sure. Of course.
Let's face it. None of us think this is going to go well.
Right.
And stand-up is one of the most difficult things in the world to learn how to do.
Kevin Smith will be here.
Mm-hmm.
Writer, director, actor Kevin Smith. Love him. Talking about Ben Affleck as Batman. He thinks it's a great idea.
Excuse me?
What?
Taylor Williams.
No. Taylor Williamson is going to be here. You may not have heard of him, but he's a comedian in the finals of America's Got Talent. And he's quirky and weird and quite funny. We love that guy.
Okay.
Me versus Nature.
This I can't wait to hear.
Manoi raccoon.
Why did you just call 911? Saw a raccoon in your house?
Took care of it. Regulated. Didn't need him.
All right.
Movie beat on the program today because it is Friday and we've got your tickets for Nine Inch Nails at the Troubadour. Coming up, we'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 3 minutes till 6.
Friday morning, Ralph is here, sort of. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Sort of. Where else could it be?
Well, you woke up at 5:30.
Am I here?
That's impressive.
Am I here?
Yes.
No sort of about it.
I'm going to have to go with yes on that one.
Booyah!
How's your hair, Ralph?
Spectacular, as always.
Wearing an Eagles hat.
Sad news for another May-December marriage. Clint Eastwood and his wife, Dina, apparently are separating after 17 years of wedded bliss.
They made it 17 years. Yeah. That's impressive.
Clint is 83. She's an effing lunatic.
Yeah. You think it was the reality show that...
Oh, I think that was just...
the end of it?
Perhaps the last straw on that camel's back.
Yeah.
She seems like just a wing nut. And he seems old and tired. He probably doesn't want to put up with her BS any longer.
Plus, he's always talking to chairs.
That too. Yeah, sources say they split up a year ago last June, and they're just getting around to finalizing things. And, of course, because they are in the entertainment business, the split is amicable.
Oh, that's nice.
And they're going to be the best of friends.
That's great.
They do have a 16-year-old daughter named Morgan together, so that will keep them bound for life. You know, Clint has 7 kids from all his relationships.
Did not know that.
Sadly, though, at 83, Clint has a better chance of rebounding with a hottie than any of us in this room. So,
true.
Oh, what are you going to do? Speaking of relationships, the VMAs may have been the death knell for a relationship. Sources are saying that Liam Hemsworth is no longer interested in a relationship with Miley Cyrus, and that her performance in the Video Music Awards could have been the final nail in that coffin.
I'm surprised by that, because she just seemed like such a goer now. I mean, now it looks like it's starting to get fun to be with her.
Friends are saying that Liam doesn't care for her ghetto attitude and her new look and her bizarre behavior and her twerking, and he doesn't feel like being, in their words, her babysitter any longer.
I'm surprised that relationship ever started.
Well, when it started, she was sort of normal.
Yeah, but can't he do better?
He could do way better. Yeah. He's a spectacularly handsome fellow who's a really good actor, too. And she is Miley Cyrus.
Right.
And I would think, if you're a guy, and he seems like a guy who has a certain amount of class and decorum. Yeah. You know, the Aussies, they're pretty down-to-earth people.
Mm-hmm.
He must look at her and go, what?
What's happening?
What's that? That's a riot. I say it just like that.
I've been born ready. If you're waiting on me, you're backing up. Let's go.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
And someone else isn't happy with Miley Cyrus either in her twerk fest. The inventor of the foam finger.
Oh, she wrecks that foam finger.
Yeah.
There's an inventor. There's a dude that came up with that, huh?
Steve Schmillar.
Why, did you think it was created in nature, Kevin?
No, I thought maybe it come
by the foam finger tree and pick yourself up a couple before
you
the
big
game.
You think it just grew?
No, I thought maybe a company came up with it.
He came up with it in 1971 when he was 16 years old.
Bastard. Is he independently wealthy from that?
I believe he is.
Bastard.
He was trying to figure out a way to cheer on his high school basketball team, so he carved a number one finger out of foam and wore it to the game. And the rest, as they say, is history. And now, you know, the rest of the story.
So they went to him and they said, what did you think
of the way she abused that foam finger? And he said he did not appreciate it. But the good news, he pointed out, fortunately, the foam finger's grown long enough that it will survive this incident.
Mm.
And I think we all feel that way about this national disaster, that every day we get a little bit further away, we get a little bit stronger.
That foam finger did get to third base, though, on national television.
Yeah, but it also got rubbed all over Robin Thicke's junk, too, so.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a slut. That finger was a slut. It was more a Mickey Mouse finger, I think, than it was a foam finger, but it was sort of a hybrid.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is TV personality Lisa Ling is 40 years old. Actress Cameron Diaz celebrates her 41st birthday. Lars Fredriksson of Rancid is 42. Michael Chiklis, Chicky Baby. Currently can be seen on Vegas. If that show hasn't been canceled, I'm not up to date on what's going on with that show. But it's on the bubble at best. 50 years old today. And one of our favorites, legendary comedian Louis Black, celebrates his 65th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I wear the Showbiz Beat as well as Walk It.
Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:22.
It's not even 6:30 in the morning yet, and Justin Bieber's already riding a llama on our show. Yeah. What the hell's going on? All right, it is Friday. We do have another chance for you to win your way into Nine Inch Nails at the Troubadour. That's coming up later on today. Also, America's Got Talent finalist Taylor Williamson will be on the program, Kevin Smith, and ex-Laker Meta World Peace. All on the way. First, though, how about the movie beat?
In a world someone has been watching, one man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
The interesting films this weekend. Starting off with one limited release called The Lifeguard. You may not have heard of this. I know I hadn't. But it stars Kristen Bell.
Oh. Yeah.
All right.
And the lovely and talented Mamie Gummer. You may know her best as Emily Owens, M.D.
I do.
So Lisa's in.
Martin Starr, also in this film from Freaks and Geeks. It's an interesting concept. This seems kind of charming. Kristen Bell plays a former valedictorian who quits her reporter job in New York and returns to the last place she felt happy, her childhood home in Connecticut. And she gets work as a lifeguard. So she's like this overqualified, really super smart chick who just wants to be a lifeguard for the summer, get back to her her childhood happiness. Here's some clips from the movie The Lifeguard.
I have a plan. I'm going to lifeguard.
You have a college degree and you're 30.
I'm 29. You came in at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're my friend and I let you suck me down this rabbit hole.
You have your whole life ahead of you. You have no idea how lucky you are.
You're an adult. I'm allowed to be confused and stumble once in a while. Despite our elderliness, some things remain from our youth.
Oh, I hope she gets boned a lot.
I think she does. I think this is the one with the sex scene that she's been talking about in interviews lately.
Woohoo!
She gets super groped.
Yeah. This looks interesting and charming. No one will go. But I'm saying. Maybe it's, you catch it on DVD. Passion also opens up this weekend in limited release. This stars Rachel McAdams.
Oh, I love her, but I've not heard of this either.
And Noomi Rapace. A rivalry between a boss of an advertising agency and her talented protege escalates from stealing credit when the assistant does work, the boss takes credit for it, then starts to humiliate her in public, and then eventually to murder.
Wow.
Now, ordinarily, I would shine one of these on because it seems like a pretty formulaic thriller. However, it's directed by Brian De Palma, and for those of you who don't know that name, he is a legend in the thriller genre.
He did Thriller?
Here are some scenes from Passion.
Christine doesn't care about us.
Things have just gotten so out of control around here lately.
Isabel, what are you doing?
It's me. Are you looking for Dirk? You're just having a nice evening watching a movie. Your movie.
This ends now.
Did you do it?
I didn't kill Christine.
Do you recognize this?
I listened. I learned. I did exactly what you would do. The perfect murder.
Ah! 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 Then we got the big movies of the weekend. These will be your contenders for the number one slot if the butler doesn't take it all again. Closed Circuit, which already opened this week, stars Eric Bana and Rebecca Hall. This is a terrorism thriller that also involves a relationship between two ex-lovers who find themselves on a defense team defending a potential terrorist. This looks very political, very dense, very complicated. I ain't got time for that. But maybe
ain't nobody got time for that.
No, I don't. Eric Bana, Rebecca Hall, Jim Broadbent, great cast. Here are some scenes from Closed Circuit.
In 2008, there was a bomb at a U.S. Air Force base in Munich which killed 20 servicemen. Mossi Cartel was part of the terrorist cell that allegedly responsible for it.
Cartel was arrested, but he cut a deal with prosecutors in exchange for his freedom. MI5 liked the idea of a man who was already compromised. They brought him in to be recruited by a local terrorist cell. The idea being that he would help plan a major attack, but ultimately betray his fellow conspirators.
At the last moment.
At the last moment. And that's where it all went wrong. That's why the secret is lethal.
Right? You with me? Anybody follow any of that?
Wow, no. That was...
You need a pie chart and some bar graphs and you need a Venn diagram to figure out the plot of this movie. There's no way I'm spending a summer afternoon sitting there with that.
My dad went to see that yesterday.
Oh, what did the chief think?
The chief liked it very much, but then remember the chief comes from intelligence, government intelligence.
True,
he was in the NSA for all those years.
Spook.
So maybe, so this might be right up his alley. I don't know.
His dad really was
a spy.
A spy.
He was a murderous, villainous spy.
And I don't know about the murder, but.
You
he
don't
had
know
secrets.
Because he's not allowed to tell you.
He definitely had secrets. He did have a guy go with him wherever he had anesthesia, like at the dentist or something, so he wouldn't say anything or get tortured or whatever.
Spill our secrets.
I know, weird, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Bean knew secrets?
That's why they wiped Bean's mind, too. He did know secrets.
Right. Good point.
Overheard something.
Yes, they had to give him the brain wipe.
Interesting theory, Ralph.
They had to give him Asperger's so he wouldn't be believable by anyone. We go, oh, that's just Bean, Bean, Bean.
They can give you Asperger's?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize
they invented, the government invented to keep the black man down. Are you crazy?
Don't they use
a blog, Kevin?
Don't they use a ring? They just shake your hand, they give you the stuff?
That's right, they give you the stuff. Getaway opens this weekend. I thought this movie was a parody when I first saw the trailer. I thought, oh, I see, they're making fun of really bad action films. But no, someone is taking this seriously. Here's your premise. A former race car driver has his wife kidnapped by a mysterious villain who then says, you have to do what I say or I'm going to kill your wife. And he makes him drive a souped-up Mustang all over the place, committing crimes for him. Along the way, the race car driver picks up a beautiful young teenage girl who has to ride alongside of him.
What's happening? Why is it...
Ethan Hawke plays the race car driver, Brent Magna. That's his name! Brent Magna. I'm race car driver Brent Magna. Well, of course you are. Selena Gomez is the beautiful teenage girl, and John Voight puts on a unbelievably bad Czech/Russian accent as the mysterious evil villain who only talks to him over a speaker. It is Getaway. It is shite. Here's some clip from the movie Getaway.
I'm going to make you an offer.
What is he after?
I don't know. Do exactly as I say, your wife lives.
She's beautiful.
Refuse or get caught, the game is over. She dies.
What happens when this is done? Why would he even give her back to you?
So, Brett Magna, you have decided not to follow my directions. Your wife will not like that, Brett Magna. If you get caught, it's all over for her, Brett Magna.
It does sound like a parody.
Come on, Brett Magna.
That's what it should be called.
Come on, Brett Magna. Yep. And lastly, this will probably be the number one movie of the weekend. One Direction, This Is Us. The 1D fans will be out in force clogging up our Cineplexes watching this documentary by Morgan Spurlock about, of course, Njal, Zane, Liam, Lewis, Harry, names that are as familiar to us as our own now. They've become so popular. It's about their meteoric rise to fame, their humble beginnings, they're competing on the X Factor, and then they're conquering the world. Morgan Spurlock is a great director. He can make anything interesting, so much so that when I saw the trailer for this film, I thought, that would be interesting to see how these kids got to where they are today.
You know, the difference between them and Bieber is that he's a complete douchebag every day, and you don't hear much bad. I mean, I don't care about
one yet.
Okay.
No, by all accounts, they're just five pretty nice guys, especially that Harry who screwed over Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that was
mad props
the best,
to him.
Right.
Mad props to Harry, right?
Agreed.
Here are some clips from the trailer from One Direction, This Is Us.
People started lining up 5 days ago.
Because of you, we're number one in 37 countries.
I love you, One Direction!
We never expected any of this to happen.
I don't know if you could have more of a dramatic life change. It's huge, man. I'm just like, look where we are.
The hardest thing about the travel is missing home and missing family, but we've become literally like brothers now.
He goes away for so long, I never know where he is in the world.
Are you crying, Mum?
Well, get off the phone then before I start crying.
He's crying with his mum. That's the thing, we're all becoming brothers now. We're in 37 countries for another time. Oh, get me lucky charms.
This movie could be good. I trust Mr. Spurlock, don't you guys?
I do, because I think, regardless of what you think of the band and its music, stories of unbridled success and sort of incomprehensible fame and fortune that fall in someone's lap is almost always interesting. When you see someone plucked from obscurity and then shot to the very heights of their field, I think there's an inherent interest in that many people have. You know,
you won't
find me in the theater with the screaming 12-year-old.
I was going to say you wouldn't like the crowd though that you're going to watch it with.
This will be a VOD or a DVD for me at some point, but expected to be number one. That's my prediction. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Vance tickets to go see the film with Vin Diesel called Riddick coming up on today's show, plus private show with Nine Inch Nails at the Troubadour. You can win it. I think we're playing Omaroki today, which is fun.
It's painful.
But also painful. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So, Kevin, so you're some sort of hero now, right?
Well,
that's the way you tell it?
I don't toss around the H word very often, but in this particular case, I'm going to go with hero.
Kevin has been strutting quite a bit this week, hasn't he, Lisa? He does make it sound like he single-handedly defeated an army.
Yes, yes.
My daughter came to me and she said, hey, there's someone in the garage. And I was like, all right. I was watching TV and I was like, all right, I'll come show you there's no one in the garage. And she said, you want a pair of scissors? I have a pair of scissors. And I said, for what? There's no one in the garage. So I walked past her and I opened the door to the garage and 3 feet in front of me was at least 25-pound raccoon.
Pounds, you mean 4 pounds?
No, I'm serious.
I've seen him that big.
I have a
in my neighborhood.
I have a 5-6 pound dog.
Yeah.
Okay. And this was six times. I mean, it was huge. And of course I was expecting nothing.
Yes.
Right.
So I was shocked and I stopped and we locked eyes. Now here's the thing about raccoons. Not afraid of you. Not afraid of humans at all.
Mm-mm.
And it had jumped up and grabbed some dog food out of the garage and was eating it. And it turned and looked at me.
How did this raccoon get in the garage? You leave the door open?
The door was open, yeah.
Okay, all right.
The garage door was open. So it stares at me and I stare at it and I'm like, you want some?
Really?
You know, the conversation that goes back and forth during a staring battle.
Right.
You
right.
want some of this? Because I think I got too much for you.
So it's odd at this point.
Right. And then the raccoon slowly, you know, like a super old person walking across the crosswalk?
Right, mm-hmm.
Like,
sure.
You might want to just nudge him along. Slowly walks back to where the garage door opening is. So it's now at the end of the garage, but I can't close the garage door yet. And it turns around for another staring contest. But this one is worse. Like this one, I can see, I don't know, I can see hell in its eyes. And I knew
he's sizing you up.
This was a staring battle for my very soul. If I look away first, I lose my soul and go right to hell.
Right.
And so I locked in and I was like, you do not. What I got. And it was like, I'm taking you down. And I was like, bring it, bitch.
This is all going on. This is in your active imagination. This is all
this
happening.
Is what was going between the two of us, me and the raccoon.
Because you know what's in the raccoon's mind is, what did you do? You know, that's the raccoon is just mocking,
mocking
you, right? Before he leaves.
And it was, I don't know, it was probably a 17-hour battle, but I would not look away. And eventually the raccoon, realizing that it was up against a superior intellect,
uh-huh.
That's where I pushed again, I know.
Or just got bored.
Looks away and just kind of meanders off. And I yelled, and don't come back!
And you expect that he understood what that was.
He knew all of it.
Here's what I love. The raccoon,
he knew he met his match. He knew that.
The raccoon walked into your home, had a full meal, turned around and walked out with nothing happened to it. And you count that as a victory.
It was the garage bean. Had it been a victory, he would have moved in. You know what he didn't do? Move in. You know why? I regulated.
Okay.
You do all not right. want to get in a staring contest with me.
All right. You may have regulated, and that may be the way you tell it, but I want to say that there is another side to this story. We asked producer Dave if he could line up for us the raccoon, because I think the raccoon might tell it a little differently. Hi, Mr. Raccoon. How are you?
Are you freaking kidding me?
What's going on?
This lion sack of garbage says that he regulated me?
Did I or did I not? Who left the garage, me or you?
Hey, douchebag.
Yeah?
I came into your garage.
Right.
I ate a half a bag of dog food.
Right.
Until I was so stuffed full I could have blew chunks all over your car.
Yeah, did you? You didn't, though. You know why? You were afraid of me, bitch.
Afraid of you? I looked at you and said, what? What are you going to do about me eating your food? And you know what you did? You stood there like a bitch and just watched while I ate your dog's food. What kind of man are you?
I stared you down.
You didn't
You knew the
nothing.
Danger you were in, and you turned and hightailed it out.
I kept eating, and you didn't do one
I didn't need to.
Thing.
My eyes did everything I needed to do.
You stood there just begging with your eyes, don't hurt me with your sharp claws, Mr. Raccoon.
Oh, that's
Mr.
what
Raccoon.
You saw. Sure, that's what the message you got.
You are
I
weak.
Saw the fear in your eyes, you pussy.
I'm not afraid of you.
Oh,
I could
please.
Open you up like a can of tuna.
Yeah, that's why you turned and hightailed it away.
Hightailed?
Yeah.
It took me like an hour to leave your garage.
That's because of the intense stare down, which
no,
I won. Who looked away first,
I
you or me?
Threatened.
Who looked away first?
I was looking to another raccoon that I was going to bone in about 20 minutes.
At me? No, you looked away from me because you were scared and you knew it was over.
You know what? Now you've done it. I was going to let you live.
Well, please.
But, now it's really odd,
please.
But now you've disrespected me.
Right.
I don't go for that.
Right. You don't cotton to that?
And I got to tell you something. You got a lovely family.
Oh, no.
It's your wife sleeping right now through the window.
Oh, no.
It would be a real shame if some accident should happen to your family.
Oh, please don't hurt anybody, Mr. Raccoon.
Being empty threats. This raccoon knows
empty
who won.
Threats?
This raccoon knows what it was in for and will never be back.
You should have taken those scissors from your daughter, by the way.
Uh-oh.
I didn't need them.
Yeah. What was she going to do with scissors, by the way? Give me a trim? Give me a haircut?
I don't know that she thought it through like that.
Here's the deal. Half a bag of dog food on your front porch every week, and I guess your family will be okay. If you mess with me one more time, look at these little
hands.
I'm gonna
come to your garage?
I'm going to
no.
take these little hands, and I'm going to go to your pool, and I'm going to wash my food, and I'm going to wash my face, and then I'm going to come knocking. And I'm going to knock on your door. I'm going to come in, and I'm going to watch the freaking Wildlife Channel on your DirecTV.
So you think you're going to come to my house and knock? You're not the one who knocks. I'm the one who knocks. Breaking Bad?
Yeah, I know. Breaking Bad. Very original.
Did that go south?
No, it's great.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
Hey, that's the band we're giving away the thing right now.
Well, next.
Yeah, not right now
well,
at all.
Well, we're opening up the phones for people to call right now, right?
Well, why do you have to say right now so high? I barely understood you.
Getting ready for the Taylor Swift concert so we can squeal with the rest of the girls.
1-800-520-1067. If you are a fan of Nine Inch Nails, you can give us a call right now. We'll give you a chance to earn it with a little game we like to call Omaroki. Why? Because that's what the game is called. That'll be right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday.
Are you and your wife going to wear the same outfits when you go to Taylor Swift? Are you going to coordinate? You going to coordinate your outfits?
I don't think so.
You
going to
wear
your
pigtails?
I've got a Taylor Swift t-shirt. I've got a little wristband. I'm all set.
You're going to wear your Cracker Barrel checkered tablecloth shirt?
No. That's only for...
Bean does have concert shirts.
Chew on a
straw.
It's
only for weddings. And none of them are good.
I think my wife is maybe wearing a disguise of some sort. That's the impression I get based on her level of excitement over this weekend.
Think of all the things...
Do you shave down there?
Do you shave down there, more importantly? Think of all the things Bean could go to, should go to, always threatens to go to, never goes. This, he absolutely will not miss.
I will not miss this. Donna's doing a lot of "I'll meet you
weeping,
there."
A lot of weeping.
Oh. She's doing a lot of.
Bean is
going to
go by himself because we know Donna well enough to know she's telling you she ain't going.
she's doing a lot of. I got some stuff to take care of. Why don't you go and I'll meet you there? I'll be there by the time the show starts. Mm-hmm. Is what I'm hearing from her.
Well, if
at
you're
this
going
point.
To have sex, it might as well be with me.
That's right.
That's not like that. Everybody's above.
It has
here.
To be like that.
Is your email tswizzlefan69? I've got some emails you wrote here.
I love you as a young man. Deep and
yeah, that's what.
There's nothing creepy about this. My love for Taylor is pure.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Blech.
Blech.
Blech. Speaking of bad music, Paul McCartney has a new single he just released this week. The song is off of a new album called New. See what he did there?
He's not even trying.
It is his first album of all new material in 6 years, and I say, why so soon, Paul? Should have just... Listen, you're Paul McCartney. You got nothing to prove. You're a Beatle, you're a Wing, you're a solo smash artist, one of the most successful musicians of all time. Take a rest, Paul. Lay down.
He has started writing like a second grader.
You and Neil Diamond just take a nap. It's okay. Catch up on, I don't know, Breaking Bad. There must be some TV you missed out on. Relax. You've earned it. This song is horrible.
You think it's that bad? I mean, I only heard it once yesterday, and I thought it sounded pretty decent.
I think it's simplistic. Listen to the rhymes and just the cheesy music behind it. Well, you be the judge. Here's the new single by Paul McCartney called New.
You came along and made my life a song. One lucky day, you came along. Just in time, while I was searching for a ride, you came along and we were new. You see, there's no guarantee. We've got nothing to lose.
Oh,
zero for effort, zero for style, zero for star quality. And you know what? I'm being generous.
You came along looking for the time. You gave me a rhyme. Anything we choose, we got nothing to lose. Okay, close the rhyming dictionary and stop with the jaunty walking down the lane music. All right,
not the best lyrics I ever heard.
Jaunty walking down the lane.
Every song you write now has to sound like someone's singing the "I'm a Pepper" song while they're dancing on that cobblestone highway. Just stop it.
I'm with Ralph. That at best, that song is not needed. At best. At worst, that's just crap.
You're Paul McCartney, man. You're just tarnishing the legend. That's all at this
that's
point.
That's some self-respect.
I walked along and then I sang a song. You came along. And you were nice and I like ice in my drinks. Stop it.
I didn't hear that verse. That was good, every verse.
Stop it. More rumors of who's going to be Dancing with the Stars. John Stamos or Jamie Lee Curtis apparently added to the list. All they have as a clue over there at the Huffington Post is that a famous yogurt spokesperson is going to be on Dancing with the Stars. So they've narrowed it down to John Stamos or Jamie Lee Curtis.
Sarah Abramson?
I'm guessing Jamie Lee Curtis. She seems like more of a Dancing with the Stars. Sure. Type. Because John Stamos is known for more than just selling yogurt, but her whole career now pretty much is Activia.
Boy, if they could get Stamos, though, yeah, that'd be great for the ratings, wouldn't it?
Monstrous. Yeah. Jack Osborne of the Osborne family?
Right.
Paula Deen? Could she be doing it? Could Tan Mom Patricia Krenzel be doing it?
No.
Yes, she's been rumored. She's been rumored.
That's the first name you've ever said that might make me watch that show.
And you joke, but Farrah Abramson...
Farrah Abramson? Well, I'm sure she calls him every day.
Has also been rumored.
They probably don't want her
to be on. But
is there a paycheck? I'm in.
Yeah, right. Does it involve lubricant? No? Oh, this is the best job of my life. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Lisa Ling, she is 40 years old today. Actress Cameron Diaz celebrates 41 years. Lars Fredriksson of Rancid is 42. Michael Chiklis, what a career this guy's had. He was the commish, of course. Then he went on to The Shield, wildly popular show. Vegas, most recently, does movies. 50 years old. Louis Black, comedian, legend, personal guru of mine, 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I would like to formally apologize for what you're about to hear.
Yeah, this is no bueno.
Rock and roll!
This is not going to go good for you, the K-Rock listener.
All right, here's what's going on. Nine Inch Nails is doing an invitation-only show at the Troubadour. As you know, you cannot buy tickets to this. You can only win your way in from K-Rock. We have tickets for you all day long today, right up until, I think, is this right up until 9 o'clock today?
Yep.
Giving away tickets? You get a chance to earn them right now if you're a big Nine Inch Nails fan as we play Omaroki.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
So Omar is going to attempt to sing Nine Inch Nails lyrics. All you have to do is identify the song by its title. Oh, have you heard any of these songs before?
I've heard all of them. Okay. I'm not going to attempt. I'm going to rock them right.
Okay, so you're going to try to make them sound as much like the Nine Inch Nails version as you can.
I'm not
going to
try. I'm doing.
All right. So everybody that gets it right.
I like Beats Tone.
Go into the drawing. Beats Tone is based on very reliable history.
Yes. I don't think so. I don't know what you guys are listening to.
Who's our first contestant, Kevin?
That would be John. Hi, John.
Hey.
Welcome to the show. You ready for Omar Oki?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. Good luck. Tell us what song this is.
I'm becoming less defined as days go by, fading away. And, well, you might say I'm losing focus, kind of drifting into the abstract in terms of how I see myself. Sometimes I think I can see right through myself.
Okay.
Sometimes I think I can see right through myself.
Thank you. Omar.
Sometimes.
He should know it about
John, half. What do you think?
Is it only?
It is, yes.
Boom! I'm becoming less
defined. Yeah, boom, like you did
Booyah.
Something.
Yeah.
I feel like Omar's doing some sort of a free jazz version of the song. You know, like it doesn't sound anything like the record.
You need some snaps. All right, let's go to Richard. Hi, Richard.
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Richard says he's a video game tester.
Nice.
What a gig.
Oh, best job
no
ever.
Kidding.
All right, you ready to guess the Nine Inch Nails song?
I'm ready.
Here's your torture.
What have I become, my sweetest friend? Everyone
yes,
I know.
Yes, nicely done. Feel free to cut Omar off if you know it ahead of time.
Yeah, the sooner you weigh in, the sooner we can try to get him to stop singing. All right, so in Omar's defense, 2-for-2 so far.
Yeah, well, they just know Nine Inch Nails songs.
Bum.
Let's go to Dominic. Hi, Dominic.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Hello.
Good luck.
It comes down to this, your kiss, your fist, and your strain against under my skin within.
All right, name that song.
Wish.
Sorry, that's sin. Your fist. Sorry, all right.
Nice try.
That
good clip,
bad.
Though.
Thank you.
Can we hear that clip again? Because I'm not sure that we completely... That's it. All right. Let's go to Agada.
Agada.
Okay.
Yes.
What is that? What are you,
good morning.
What are you doing? What's Agada?
Hey,
what are you doing?
Leave her alone. She didn't
what
name
herself. What are you
herself.
Doing?
What am I doing? I'm calling to Carol because I've called every hour for a whole week.
Oh,
so
well.
I hope you win this.
I hope you win and change your name before the show. All right. Here's Omar.
God money, I'll do anything for you. God money, just tell me what you want me to. God money, nail me up against the wall. God money, don't want to, wants it all. No, you can't take it.
Right.
No,
that's
you
fine.
Can't
that's,
take
thank
it.
You,
no,
funny.
You can't take
all
that.
All right.
With
no,
me.
No, you can't take it, Omar. Head like a hole.
Head like a hole is correct. All right. Congratulations. Hope you win. Let's go to...
pretty good so far. Pretty good turnout.
Let's go to Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
All right. We're about to have Omar sing for you, so
nice.
good luck on this.
Thank you.
Where figures from past stand tall and mocking voices ring of blood, imperialistic house of prayer, conquistadors who took their share, they keep calling me, keep on calling me, they keep calling me.
Well, I'm sorry, say it again?
It's Dead Souls.
Correct,
yeah.
Dead Souls. That's right. I'm only angry because you let him sing for so long.
It's a Joy Division song.
It's also a Nine Inch Nails song, though.
All right, take it easy, Jessica. You're already in the drawing.
We know that, you know, but it's still a Nine Inch Nails song. Hey, when Omar sings the verses, it sounds like he's translating like from one language into another, like a language he doesn't speak. What's going on with that? You do speak English, right, O?
Listen, dude, I don't know what you're hearing. All I hear is sweetness. Sweetness is what's going on here.
Yeah.
Let's make our next contestant our final contestant, shall we?
All right, Alex.
Yes.
Welcome to the show. Here's your torture.
You can have my isolation. You can have the hate that it brings. You can have my absence of faith. You can have my everything. Help me tear down my reasons.
That's probably...
Help me. It's your sex I can smell.
All right. We got it.
Help
thank you.
Help me. You
thank
make
you.
Me
That's
perfect.
Probably enough.
All help
right.
me.
Close your mouth. It's closer.
Yes, it is. And close your mouth indeed.
God, right. You survived
like
the worst
tone.
Part of that. All right, John Richard, something called Agata. I think we had a Jessica and an Alex all in the drawing, but only one can win tickets to the K-Rock show of Nine Inch Nails of the Troubadour. Lisa May, who's it going to be?
Crazy enough, it's Agata.
Oh, yeah!
Agata.
Amazing.
Agata. You called every hour. It paid off.
Every hour this week, you guys. Thank you so much.
It paid up. Enjoy Nine Inch Nails at the Troubadour. And thanks for suffering through Omarosa.
Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Tell me the truth, Kevin. The first time you saw Taylor Williamson on America's Got Talent, didn't you think he was going to get buzzed off the stage before he got through his first joke?
Yes. But I think that's the charm. That's his act.
Mm-hmm.
Is he starts off weak, and you go, "Oh, this is going to hurt. I feel
sad.
I feel bad for this guy.
He shouldn't be on stage. It's just going to get worse for him. Look at him; like he doesn't have enough going on. Now he's going to get beat up leaving the show."
What do you mean?
Oh, it's Taylor Williamson is right here. He's in studio with us now. Hi, Taylor.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, thanks so much for having me, you guys.
Our pleasure.
But let's finish that. So we think you're going to get beat up, and then your punchlines are funny as hell.
Oh, thank you.
And so you turn it right around.
I'm the Susan Boyle of comedy.
You are.
Absolutely you are. Now, are you actually sophisticated and suave, and this is just a fish out of water, dumb yokel act you're putting on? Or
some harsh words in there.
No, I'm trying to figure out if you're just making the best of what you've got, or if this is all some sort of brilliant Andy Kaufman-esque plan where you're getting us to think one thing and something completely different is going on.
Like you're really a black guy or something.
I'm black from the waist up.
It doesn't help you.
I don't know.
That's too meta a question, but you know what I'm saying. We're just trying to figure you out, dude.
Hey, Taylor, are you really, truly a loser? You're so good at being a loser.
In effect, that was his question.
Unfortunately, I'm pretty much. I mean, I think I'm. From, I think you. I'm. This is hi. I'm Taylor. This is me.
You come across as awkward, and most people who come across as awkward can't turn that into comedy like you have.
Well, it's funny, like, all the things I got, like, bullied for growing up are all the things that make me kind of good at comedy. Mm-hmm. But they still hurt me the rest of my life.
Sure, but
it's like, hey, you're weird and awkward, and you say dumb things a lot. But I can on stage, I can like kind of put that together and hone it and present it in a certain way.
And then people laugh, and then you go home and cry in your hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's still awkward.
That's exactly.
I was so surprised, and I think the judges were too. I mean, you definitely blew away everybody's expectations every time you appear on that stage. But I was so surprised when you said you've been doing stand-up comedy. You've been making a living at it, right, for 10 years?
Yeah, like you know, like whatever the lowest you can the same for my what do you call it, like I just had a stroke. Is that bad? Is that
not good? On this show.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's you're right in keeping with me.
Just happens to people who sit in this room. I don't know what's going on.
I made as little money as you possibly can without having to get a day job.
Okay, so you were scraping by.
Yeah, but it's hard. It's, you know, like, I mean, this 1 year is super cool, then the next year is horrible, and then 3 years of that is horrible.
I want to play a clip, and then I want you to tell me if all these are true.
Okay.
It's a clip from the show.
So far this year, I've performed in a coffee shop, I've performed in a cafeteria, I've performed at a laundromat, I've performed at a pizza parlor, I've performed at a girl's sweet 16 party at her mother's Korean restaurant. Things aren't going well. Yes, it is true. My theme song is Steal My Sunshine.
You played a sweet 16 party? Like, what?
Is all that true first?
Sees your act and says, hey, this kid needs to come play the party.
Dude, I get booked for the most horrible things ever, but, like, I'm poor. Like, I have a chip on my shoulder where I've been very lucky that since I was, like, 20, I started when I was 17, and I went to college at CSUN for a little bit, Cal State Northridge.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, but I got, like, on Craig Ferguson when I was 20, so I never had to have a day job. I never in my life had a proper job. And I never wanted to have to go back to doing that.
Of course.
So then when someone says, hey, I'm DJing at this girl's Sweet 16 Party at a Korean restaurant. If you want to, you want to come do it? And I'm like, he's like, $50. I'm like, oh, $50. And I go, dude, I've gotten booked for the worst, the most random gigs that I shouldn't be doing at all.
Well, like, what about a laundromat? In what world are you doing comedy at a laundromat?
Oh, just the horrible world we live in,
yeah.
Sir. I got hit up from... through my college booking agent for universities where you get paid most of the money, for I get paid most. I don't know if you guys get, I don't know who pays you guys, but
this may be a tangent. Let's get back to you.
This company that in a parks in South Dakota that manufactures grapple forks and rock buckets, whatever those are, booked me to come perform. They pay me fairly decently. Like, I pay my rent out of it. So I fly out there, and then there's 40 people at this company. One of those places where like the head, the president's also like the mayor, and also works at the school, and he makes pigs or whatever the people eat. And I asked him, like, I said, do you have any Jewish people here? Because I'm Jewish. Like, do you have any Jewish people here? He's like, no, say whatever you want. I was like, that's not what I meant, sir. But I don't want to correct him. Like, sure, I'm Jew. He doesn't need to know. That's like unnecessary.
At that point, that guy doesn't need to know, right?
Wow.
This is the voice of Taylor Williams here on the Kevin Beach Show. We're going to have to take a quick break. We'll have more time to spend with Taylor when we return. But you can see him on stage tonight. Now, how did this happen? This is a real, live, like, huge gig. You're playing the Hollywood Improv tonight on a Friday night. Can you handle that?
Dude, it's so exciting. Like, I was there last night. I took a picture of the marquee. It's me, and then it's Kevin Smith, Ralph Garman, and Meta World Peace.
That's a bizarre. That's the most bizarre lineup ever.
But it's amazing. It's so special to me. I get to headline my favorite, the best comedy club in the world on Friday night for the first, or on any night for the first time ever. And it's such a big deal for me. And I get to do a longer set in Los Angeles. And so special.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. That's going to be HollywoodImprov.com. That's tonight. Tickets are only $15. And it's also Kamal Nanji is going to be there as well, right? Oh, I know I always say his name wrong.
Some hilarious. Kamal Nanjiani is on the show. Henry Phillips, one of my favorite comedians. And Jonathan Kite from Two Broke Girls. He stars on Two Broke Girls. He's very funny.
Are you going to be nervous?
I mean, I'm always...
It won't show.
but people think I'm doing a shtick or something, you know? So, if you
hang out... you've been doing it for 10 years, and you always look like it's the first time you've ever been on stage when you walk out. That's why.
You had the fear in your eyes that the audience is going to rise up and rush the stage. Just bum rush you.
You know what's so funny is you look so nervous, or people say, like, dude, it looks so cool. You just go on stage, you look like you just don't care. Like, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm so desperate. I'm so clearly, blatantly desperate. But
well, it's very disorienting for us in the audience.
If somebody's giving you credit for you don't care, go, yeah, that's just how I roll.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care about this.
Taylor Williamson is here. His fans are called Taylords, by the way. I don't know if you knew that or not, Kevin.
You can
follow him on Twitter at Taylor Comedy. We'll ask lots more questions, including what's it really like being on America's Got Talent when we return after this on K-Rock.
In the studio with us is Taylor Williamson, who is one of the semifinalists for America's Got Talent, which is on Tuesday night?
It's on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock and Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. But my next performance, where people can vote for me to keep my dreams from being crushed and to help me defeat these people who are actually talented, September 10th is the next voting night for me. So you can watch this Tuesday and just be like, oh, that's cute. These people are, you know, great, you know? But then a week from Tuesday, you can vote for me
you're a semi-finalist, Taylor. How many are in competition at this stage of the show?
Well, I'm actually top 12 finalists now.
12,
thank you very much. No, it's so complicated. They keep adding.
So you're
rounds.
Going up against jugglers, and you're going up against what? What kinds of acts do you? Magicians, right?
Gay opera singers. I know that sounds redundant. there's two though. This like it's kind of funny. Everyone has a storyline. It's just sounds so unfair. Like I don't have a storyline.
We need to make one up.
I know because I'm going to military hero, military wife country.
Nope.
Military hero country singers. One guy. Military wife. Gospel choir is another one.
Okay, yeah.
There's one kid, amazing opera singer, Jonathan Allen, who just moved to Los Angeles, actually. His parents kicked him out of his house after he came out, but he still loves them, and he's the nicest kid, and he just wants to performing. He's so good.
You need lived in my car.
I know.
Something. You got to have something. Yeah.
And I got bullied. I keep telling producers, I got bullied. Let's talk about it. Let's milk this because it happened. And then they're just focusing on, you're weird and people like you. And girls like you now for some reason, but they're all 13. Like, that's the storyline.
That's quite a storyline.
So when you walk out on stage, the judges have never seen you before. There is some sort of a process to get to that point to appear on the television show. But you, Howie is seeing you for the first time. Howard is seeing you for the first time. Mel, Heidi, they're all, you're new to them, right?
Yeah, it's weird because I've seen like Heidi Klum a lot on my computer.
Haven't we all? Right.
And then she tells you that she's not a fan.
Yeah, what's her beef with you? What's the problem with you and Heidi?
You know,
she's single now. I would like to see this happen.
You know, what's funny is I asked the producers, like, we go through, like, what music do you want to come out to the next round? And I said I would love to come out to Kiss from a Rose by Seal. And
retrospect.
And then the next
see beer mug because Heidi Klum used to be married to Seal. That's the joke there.
And oh wait, what happened? And then the next time, then I get them, I email them a list of actual songs I'd like to come out to. And then like 2 days later, they say, "Hey, guess what? Kiss from a Rose was approved." I'm like, "What are you talking about? I don't know." They're like, "No, they'll love it." I'm like, "No, I'm trying to get through on this thing."
You need to do Drake Started from the Bottom. That's what you need to do.
I came out to Umbop last round.
I saw that. Yeah.
That's
I saw
a great choice.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Now, did you think that a guy like Howard Stern, and I know that his NBC TV persona is very different than his radio persona, but did you think a guy like that would like you as much as he does, or is that a shock to you? Because his kind of humor is so different from yours, Taylor.
You know what? Like, I didn't think it would bother me if Heidi Klum didn't think I was funny, but it really hurt me. She hurt my feelings, like, for real. Hey, guys, I have feelings. What do you want from me, all right?
You're just a monkey on stage dancing. You know
that. Yeah, but Howard Stern, I admire him so much. And it would have, like, honestly, like how the last round, Howie Mandel gave me a standing ovation.
Right.
And Howard Stern, he didn't standing ovate me.
Right.
But he said, your material is good, your character is great. And then he said the nicest things, but I took that as he hates me.
What?
Then I had to watch the video 2 days later and be like, oh my gosh, my hero said the most wonderful things about me. He just didn't stand up and jump around like my other hero, Howie Mandel. But that's such a dream come true. I would have been crushed if he didn't like me. But he's comedy friendly. He respects comics. Yeah. He understands the environment. Andrew Dice Clay was just on Howard Stern saying that Radio City Music Hall is the worst venue for stand up comedy ever.
And that's where you did the show?
Yeah, tapes. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's a music venue. It's cavernous. The ceilings are too high.
And it's not just that. It's also, I think it would be difficult with people are there not necessarily just to see you. They're there to see whatever the variety of whatever acts are there. So that's a tough room to do.
You got to win a lot of people over who aren't there as Taylor Williamson fans, I guess.
Yeah, it's really it's such an awkward thing where they're there for 4 or 5 hours, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's a warm guy. They're there to see a TV taping, not to watch a comedy show. They're not a comedy fan. Most people have never watched stand-up comedy here, and there's like 12-year-olds to grandmas. So I have to appeal to the live audience, the four judges, the two fellow nerdy Jew comedians. Right. Like I got them covered. But then the two British people, a German who...
I got to question her sense of humor anyway. Heidi Klum says you're not funny, yeah, to her, whatever.
It's not her area, right?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Her area is hot.
Yeah. Is it weird for you, Taylor, and I don't know what your show business fantasies were growing up and working over the past 10 years, but is it weird that you're now sort of like friends with a Spice Girl? Like, did you ever imagine that would happen?
Well, I feel like she would disagree that we're sort of friends right now.
Just play it off.
She seems to like you.
Backstage, there's a young girl who looked like her that she was with. I'm assuming it was her child, perhaps. And I said hi, and she's like, "Get away from my daughter." But it's silly, though, you know. But they're so sweet. Heidi Klum off stage after the last performance, where I kind of like grilled her a little bit in a silly way.
Yeah.
And she played along gracefully. And backstage, she came up to me and she's like, "Hey, Taylor," and I'm like, "Yeah, Heidi Klum."
Right there, you're like, "This is not my life."
It's so funny. Like, I really she really like made me like so hurt, you know. But then she's like, you know, I don't even think I don't like you. And then she's smiling and she hugged me, and I'm like, oh, I like you so much. And then she kissed me on my forehead, and I had lipstick on, and she took a picture of me and her, and she Instagrammed it.
Oh, that was nice.
Wow.
So, I want her to hate me then.
I know.
No kidding.
Now, Taylor, what do you get if you win America's Got Talent?
You get $1 million allegedly.
Allegedly.
Paid over 20 years or a lump sum. It's like, I don't mind talking.
It's like the lottery, right?
It's awesome.
Oh, so you could take a lump sum and it's less.
Yeah.
Or you could get paid over 20 years.
Okay. Or 40 years. So if you don't plan on dying.
40 years?
Yeah. That's like $1,000 a year or something.
I'm not sure about your math there, Lisa, but.
Isn't this the show where you also get a residency at some club in Las Vegas or something, though?
Well, it's funny they keep saying, like, you get your own headline act in Vegas. Like, Heidi Klum says, you're not an appropriate act for me to take my children to in Vegas. First of all, who takes their children to Vegas?
Right. Or a comedy show in Vegas.
Who's appropriate? You're a filthy underwear model, you know? Like, that's not appropriate.
I'm not sure calling her filthy underwear model.
Well, that'll win her over.
Is the answer.
Now you've done it. But, I mean, that is part of the thing is you get some sort of a job out of it in addition to the money. Am I wrong about that?
No, I don't know. No, you're right. But now it's like last year they had a residency in Vegas at some wonderful casino. That's probably wonderful. And now I love NBC and Heidi Klum and everyone who I signed a contract talking about how much I like,
right.
And I love, and but now it's a live tour, so it'll be like a tour where I think they're gonna play like some cool venue here, and I think I make it to be a part of it. So there's one show in Vegas out of the whole thing, but they focus on Vegas.
What do you mean a part of it? Wait, they're gonna tour like American Idol does, where they take like the top 10 or something?
Take a bunch of people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I see. Tell me about it. We're almost out of time. This is Taylor Williamson. Here on the Kevin
Show.
I'm not going.
You can see on stage tonight at the Hollywood Improv, by the way. You can get tickets at hollywood.improv.com. It's going to be a fantastic show. One of the packages that they showed on you this week had you walking around the streets of New York and being recognized. It looked like quite a bit. Is that new just as a result of being on this show, and has that been difficult for you to get used to?
I mean, let's be honest. I've always been very recognizable, according to nobody. No, it's been so bizarre. 2 months ago, my career was below the lowest gutter that your career could be in.
Yeah,
it was lower than that.
I don't know what's lower than. I don't know. You know, and throw in a limbo joke somewhere if you'd like, but you probably shouldn't because it wouldn't be funny.
Right,
and then but now. Like, they said, we want to film you, people coming up to you saying hi and stuff. And I was like, how are we going to find people to do that? People just swarmed me outside Radio City Music Hall, like, during the day. And, like, it's so nice. And, like, I don't know. It's bizarre and weird, actually.
Yeah, it's sort of weird that they know anything about you and you don't know anything about them.
Right. But the thing about the show is, like, it's not like doing Tonight Show where you do it and it's cool. But, like, this show, like, they get to know you, how you present it.
True.
And they presented me as me. You know, and people, 13-year-olds to grandmas are coming to me saying the nicest things. I have moms are saying, "Don't listen to Heidi Klum. We think you're funny," and it's just so special. And like, you guys are asking, like, what do I win? Like, I not to sound too wonderful because I'm a cynical comedian that I'll never find happiness. But but I already won. Like, I Howard Stern likes me. I get to be on Kevin. It's such an honor, honestly, to be here. And like,
make it easy.
I know. Like, for real, like, it's like I got the Artie Lang show, and all these things are coming because of this show, and I have that attitude also because there's no way I'm going to beat this any of these people who are actually talented. But
well, I think it's great what you're doing, and I can't imagine the pressure of having to come back every single week with new material and stay in the competition. It just must be nerve wracking. It must drive you crazy. You must stay awake at night going, how am I going to stay on for one more week?
All right.
You're making him more nervous, Bean.
It's not possible to make this kid more nervous.
No, dude, you're so right. I was freaking out because the last round, it was such a – if you go on YouTube, America's Got Talent page, they have all the videos and stuff. And it was – I did a thing that was so unique that such an inside joke to the show, I couldn't practice it in the comedy clubs because it was catered around the fact that Heidi Klum doesn't think I'm appropriate to children. So I wrote kid-friendly act jokes.
That was very funny.
Thank you so much.
But
you're
not going to do that in a comedy show.
Well, no, those are jokes that I do. But I put them together to make it seem like a thing. But mm-hmm.
Right,
I can't.
Right.
So I tried working out at a club saying, hey, guys, you watch America's Got Talent? And then, no. I'm like, well, Heidi Klum is a judge and she didn't like me.
you know, inside her? This thing.
You guys know Heidi Klum?
Yeah, she's a model. World War II, I don't know. Something. I love NBC.
All right. We're out of time, Taylor. Tuesday nights on NBC. Please tune in and watch our man, Taylor Williamson. Please vote for him so that he can win something. He's not exactly sure what, but he's going to win something. I'm so glad you came, and I hope we can do it again sometime soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Hollywood Improv tonight, 8 o'clock, and then September 10th is my top 12 round of the show. And if I get the pass, that's the finals on the 17th. And thank you. Honestly, the people watching and voting, they're literally making my dreams come true. And thank you, everybody. Thank you for having me, you guys.
Please stop talking.
I'm sorry for everything.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:57.
Kevin Smith will weigh in on The Kevin and Bean Show right after the top of the hour on the casting of his good friend Ben Affleck as the new Batman. And surprisingly, he and Ralph very much at odds with their opinions on this casting.
Mm-hmm. Is this going to break you two kids apart?
No, you know, our friendship is stronger than that. But
okay. Looking forward to hearing from both sides, though. That's coming up here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday.
Shocking news this morning. Lamar Odom busted for DUI.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This morning at 3:54 a.m. in the San Fernando Valley, Lamar was popped by the CHP and taken to a nearby station where he was booked and is currently being held on $15,000 bail. He was pulled over on the 101 freeway for going too slow.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
How slow did they say?
Does not say
here.
Oh,
wow.
But,
I mean, I guess that's better. It's still dangerous, but...
Sure, one way to get their attention
is
to crawl along on the freeway.
What you should do if you're Lamar Odom and you're going to drink is not drive.
Well, here's the thing. He's arrested for DUI. Driving under the influence.
Right.
Of what?
Well,
DUI is not always alcohol.
Oh, I see. I got you.
Now, the rumor has been that he's been sort of binging on crack cocaine lately. So, who knows? Maybe booze. Maybe something else. We'll have to wait and see. But
if you're on crack, you're not going 20 miles an hour.
Or you're trying to compensate.
Well, maybe.
Who knows? But that's sad news added to an even sadder story. So we'll keep you posted. Thanks to TMZ and Harvey Levin, those guys, for letting us know about that. This is my favorite thing ever, especially because Bean is creepy.
Yeah.
What do I do?
And is going to the Tadoff Switler concert this weekend. Going to see his Taylor Swift.
We might need to dedicate some time to that today, Ralph, because I've learned more things.
Are there more details?
Yeah, and it's worse than we thought.
I cannot believe that I'm actually thinking about blanking your blank.
No, it's not like that. It's not a sexy time thing. I'm just a fan of her and her music.
Well, Bean and many other acolytes of Taylor Swift have been swarming to a Pinterest user's post. Emily Patterson is her name. She has been posting Taylor Swift's quotes so that all the girls who love Taylor Swift can read her quotes and live by what she has to say. The Pinterest posting is called Real Taylor Swift Quotes, and it's got beautiful pictures of Taylor along with her quotes. Like, it isn't history that makes heroes. It's heroes that make history, Taylor Swift. I have sworn to live free, Taylor Swift. As in everything, nature is the best instructor, Taylor Swift. The only preventative measure one can take is to live irregularly, Taylor Swift. As a Christian, I have no duty to allow myself to be cheated, but I have the duty to be a fighter for truth and justice, Taylor Swift. Do not compare yourself to others. If you do so, you are insulting yourself, Taylor Swift.
When does she say all this stuff?
Words build bridges into unexpected regions, Taylor Swift.
I don't think she said that.
No, you're right, Lisa. All these quotes are actually from Adolf Hitler. And this woman has put Taylor's picture up and attributed all of these quotes to Taylor, and all these girls are swooning over her words of wisdom, when in fact each of them were quotes that Adolf Hitler actually said.
Our nickname is accurate.
So Tadoff Switler has come to pass, boys and girls, by the suckers that are Taylor Swift fans flocking to this site and just swooning about how deep and how profound and how they can live their lives by the lessons taught by Taylor Swift or, you know, Adolf Hitler.
Oh, that was perfect execution.
It feels like a perfect night to dress up like Hitler.
Yeah. And make
wait, hold on a second. What did I just hear? What just happened?
Her dressing up like Hitler. So you follow Hitler, basically, Bean. That's what we're saying. You're a big fan of Hitler's.
I guess it doesn't help
to point out that Taylor Swift had nothing to do with anything in that story, right?
Shut up.
It happens to be the truth.
Well,
she's
know what?
Completely uninvolved and unrelated whatsoever in somebody's internet prank.
If she wasn't so hateable, none of that would have happened. So in essence, she caused it by being imminently hateable. And so everyone wants her to be Hitler. That's all I'm saying.
Good conclusion.
That's science.
That's solid.
Look at the there's the details right here.
Ralph showed me a piece of paper. Must
See?
Be true.
Look.
All right. Then it's true. Everyone wants her to be Hitler.
Yes.
Science.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lisa Ling is 40 years old today. Actress Cameron Diaz turns 41. Lars Fredriksson of Rancid is 42 years old. Michael Chiklis. I love Chicky Baby. He is 50 years old today. You know, you can say what you want about those Fantastic Four movies. They were not successes. But his performance as Ben Grimm, the Thing, was one of the highlights in those films, both of those films for me. Louis Black, comedian, god, icon. Anybody watch his special over the weekend?
I haven't yet. I still plan to.
Boy, is it funny. He is 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I will never forget that day.
The world changed. I saw the announcements and I didn't believe it. I thought, no, it can't be.
It was just like any other morning, you know?
I was just getting ready for work and my mom calls me.
I could just feel the air was different, you know, when I walked in.
And then she said, Ben Affleck is going to be the next Batman.
It's like, how do you wake up and tell your kids in the morning that this is the world you live in?
I was holding my daughter in my arms. And I just know at that moment, like, life had changed.
What are we supposed to do with that information?
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do
with it? How do we get over it? How do we as a nation recover after we all went through that fateful morning?
Because we still have to wake up. We still have to go about our business and take care of our families and work and pretend
how do we heal?
That life matters.
How do
right?
we heal? Because if we stop living our lives, then Warner Brothers wins. So that's
it. Ladies and gentlemen, our good friend, writer, director, actor, Kevin Smith joins us in studio. Here on the Kevin DeBede Show. And here's the question that I brought up on the air when the news broke last week, Mr. Smith.
Fire away, sir.
We all have our first impression of this news that, you know, it's a big deal for anyone when there's a new Batman. But what must it be like for you, someone who has grown up your entire life as a Batman fan, to now have one of your best friends actually be Batman? I can't imagine what it's like for you.
I'd never believed in the term spontaneous combustion, but I had a south of the border spontaneous
Whoa!
Combustion.
Whoa!
Realizing how tidy whitey I was with Batman, man. Yeah. I knew Batman in the past. I'm like the Billy Carter of Batman now. The guy that Batman is just like, yeah, he's involved somehow.
Yeah, he's a little damaged. We keep him around.
My buddy's Batman. It was kind of cool for me, man, because I bought Ben's house like 12 years ago. So right away, I was like, I own Wayne Manor. I'm in the Bat mythos now. I think he's a great choice, man. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Like,
we go to you as the decider. But hold on. You have some personal stocks, some personal interest in this.
You got a dog
one.
In this fight.
So you're no longer the decider
it's
for
true.
This issue.
Here's the thing. To be fair, I trained Batman. Like, I worked with Batman back when he was busting his acting chops and stuff. So, in a way, I trained Batman. When I go see Batman, I'll see a little bit of the, probably the bad side, all the stuff people complain about, the reason he can't pull it off or something. It's like Kevin Smith stick all over him. So, yes, I'm definitely a little biased. And I've said, historically, go back and watch those Evening with Kevin Smith. One of them, I was just like, Ben Affleck could play anything. He could play the Jaws and a shark and the shark in a Jaws remake. And I've always believed that. I think he's insanely talented. That's why I kept working with him. Batman, think about
this. Well, wait a
kids.
Minute. Let's back up.
Hold on.
Before
this
Batman.
Is the important thing.
Before Batman.
Okay, go ahead.
Before Batman.
Can you say that word?
Wow. Can't say that word on the radio.
I just want to point out for the record that it was not this Kevin that cursed. This Kevin could control himself. And I'd like to say that
terrible.
To the people that own this radio station.
He was terrible in that movie.
He's directed by Michael Bay.
He was terrible.
He's directed by Michael
Bay. The
whole
film, though, was terrible.
Yes.
In his defense, the
and
whole
he
film.
Was
but
terrible.
Honestly, I don't think he was terrible. Look, you're talking to a dude who's biased. But here, let me throw this out on the table.
I'm also not a hater, though. I think he's been good, too.
Absolutely. Number one, he will crush Bruce Wayne. Ben Affleck is Bruce Wayne. He's charming. He's rich. He's debonair. He's smart. He's the guy who walks in a room. People are like, hey, and it, proving all that. He'd be, you know, there's,
I
his movie won Best Picture last year. The dude can handle Bruce Wayne in his sleep.
I can see that.
The only thing you have to worry about then is Batman.
Right.
And as we've seen historically on screen, once the actor puts on that cowl, it's like, does it matter? Like,
but it does.
Christian Bale, when you think about it, was a great Bruce Wayne. And he cut a great Batman figure, but everyone makes fun of him because his one Batman choice was...
wasn't the best choice.
Even Michael Keaton, when Michael Keaton put on the cowl, when he spoke, he lowered his voice and did it down here. And so everyone's always gone after the guy in the mask anyway. And let me throw this out there. When you're the guy playing Batman, you know how many times you're actually playing Batman? Because most of the time, Batman's running, jumping, punching criminals in their turkey necks, getting punched, getting captured. So it's always action, right? You think Ben Affleck, 40-year-old Ben Affleck's going to be the guy actually wearing the cowl, running around as Batman?
So your defense is it's not going to be him.
My defense?
I know this is a terrible deal, but you don't have to eat very much of it.
If the cowl don't fit, you must quit.
It's going to be someone else.
My defense is this, man. Since when has playing Batman, and I'm the world's biggest Batman fan. I have a podcast called Fat Man on Batman. So this doesn't come from a Ben protecting place, man. And full disclosure, it's like I haven't talked to him in years. So it doesn't come from there either. Who, like, when does it require the, you know, somebody who could tread the boards and rock the bard to put on the Batman mask? I like Michael Keaton. I like Christian Bale. But, I mean, when you think of the world's greatest actors, you don't think of Batman. You don't think of those two cats. And you certainly don't think of them in those roles. When I think of Michael Keaton acting his ass off, clean and sober.
Yeah,
he's amazing and clean and sober. Christian Bale, throw a rock and you'll hit a movie that Christian Bale is genius in. Batman is the least demanding performance role.
Were you surprised?
You put on a mask. Half of your face is covered. It's just your mouth and a little bit of your eyes, depending on which way they choose to go. And then the rest of the time, you lower your voice and run around and hit things. Most of his acting will be done as Bruce Wayne, and he'll crush it as Bruce Wayne. So folks should relax.
Were you surprised last Friday night when you showed up and you had not spoken with Ralph about it until you guys did your podcast in New York City? And he was so vehemently against it to the point where he says, I may not even want to go see that movie. Did that shock you?
That was an overreaction and a half, man. Where he's just like, I may not go see it.
The towers had just fallen, Kevin. You have to understand. We were all in a bit of shock. We've had a chance to process it since.
I was surprised, I think, as everyone else, because like a lot of people, there were a bunch of cats on Friday going, why would he do this? He just won an Oscar and he clawed his way back to respectability and all that stuff. But, I mean, I think the answer is kind of simple. Like, he's always liked Batman very, very much. I told the story about the house that I live in, which is used to be his house. But I've been in it for over 10 years, so you know what?
It's your
my house now. Yeah. Thank you. But anyway, back when it was his house, I went in there 4th of July 2001 for a barbecue. And he was like, come here. I've never been there. He's like, Smitty, come here. And he tours me around. He goes, I got to show you this right away. Come down to my bedroom. And I was like, I've seen that. That's
again?
How you got these jobs. But he goes, come in here. We go inside. There's an office right off the bedroom. It's got a full bookcase in it, beautiful bookcase, and a desk there. And I was like, this is great, dude. He goes, look at the bookcase. This is really nice. You didn't read all these. And he goes, no, watch. And he presses a button, reaches in, presses a button. All of a sudden, the bookcase the one to the far left shifts back.
That's pretty cool.
Very cool. And I said, no way, you did it, you mad bastard, you built a bat cave. And he's like, I built a bat cave entrance. And then you get to the bookcase and you realize it's just a very small panic room.
It's just a room.
It was so Hollywood, dude. The presentation was amazing, but he's like, don't go over there, though.
Yeah,
don't look behind the curtain, for heaven's sake. But he's always loved the character. He did Daredevil because he was a big Dark Knight Returns fan, loved Frank Miller. Back then, nobody was ever going to do another Batman movie again after Batman and Robin. But he was like, Daredevil's close, man, because Frank Miller wrote it. He worked on this character. He's like, this is the closest I'll ever get to Batman. Dude's always wanted to play Batman. So there's that. Factor in, who would pass it up if somebody's
no one.
You want to be in a movie, it's probably going to gross $2 billion. A lot of people online were like, you're crazy if you think it's going to gross $2 billion. What did the Avengers gross?
1.5, I think, so far.
How can Batman versus Superman? You put that in the title, versus those two characters. Everybody's going, my mother will go. She's like, I didn't know. I thought they were friends. I want to put money down to watch them fight.
But wait, you have Batman, Superman, but then you have to subtract Ben Affleck.
Doesn't matter, dude, because it doesn't matter. It could have been me. In the suit, well, you probably would have made more money if it was me. But it could have been my mom playing Batman. And everyone's still going to go, hey, because like it's an old lady playing Batman. Boy, they just lost it at Warner Brothers. And then there's still some people online going, better Batman than Ben Affleck. But more importantly, they just want to see those two characters fight, man. That's it. Like, that's what's going to capture everybody's imagination. The next evolution, the next jump we take, the next step in these superhero movies, comic book movies, like the Avengers, massive step forward, man. It's number, what, three movie of all time? Or two?
Three, I think.
I think the next step is Batman versus Superman.
All right, you got to pause it right there, Mr. Smith. We have heard from the defense. I'd like to hear a little bit more from the prosecution on this case, too, which is our good friend Ralph Garman. He is here along with Kevin Smith. We'll continue to talk more Ben Affleck as Batman when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Are you okay? I didn't want to lie.
I don't want to live in the world where people keep trying to sell me Ben Affleck as an action star.
Actually, I guess in a way it was really something that brought everybody together. Then my next door neighbor, Tina, she came over.
They just wanted to know how I was.
It felt good. It felt good to be united with people because of how they were feeling.
You really see human compassion on that day.
I proposed to my girlfriend that night because life's too short. You know?
Just way that we all felt like, you know, we all knew we were American. We will endure this. Ben Affleck movies will come and go.
Ben Affleck!
Yeah. Poor Ben.
Okay. Yeah. Poor Ben.
I remember the candlelight vigil we all did outside the gates of Warner Brothers. We were all there holding hands.
Now, Ralph, have you been swayed by all of the arguments that Kevin Smith has presented here
today?
Not
even a little bit.
He makes good arguments.
He does. He makes excellent arguments. Sadly, they're all based in just fallacies. He's standing on a... He's built his castle.
Wait, I want to
hear a foundation of sand.
I want to hear from Lisa, who says I'm sensible, man. Where do you stand on this? I'm Lisa May, and I like Ben Affleck.
I want to hear from Ralph why he doesn't think it's possible that Ben Affleck could be a good Batman, because I think it is.
Anything is possible. All things are possible with Jesus. But I'm just saying that, contrary to my esteemed colleague here, I would believe that because Batman is basically a two-dimensional character based from a comic book, I mean, there's not a depth to that role, that it is better to pick a character that has some innate sort of gravitas to him that helps support the perceived flimsiness, perhaps, of that character, but with the baggage that he brings with him. That's why I was hoping for, like, a Josh Brolin or a Carl Urban or there's certain actors out there who carry with them a certain...
Kurt Russell's one name I heard, by the way, that
made
me excited.
He was way too old.
If you were doing Dark Knight Returns, Kurt Russell would be a good choice.
Or Jeffrey Dean Morgan or John
Hamm. I was hoping
John
for Bat-Ham. Yeah, Bat-Ham.
John Hamm, of course, would have been a good choice because they carry with them an energy that has as little to do with performance as it does like who they are, what they represent, you know, what you feel from them, that supports a role like that and lets you get away with a lot of sort of the superficiality of it all because they bring that with them. I think Ben has been good in several roles. However, I don't think he's got that quality about him. Now, I could be wrong. And really, the truth is, the biggest problems that are going to be with this film, the biggest handicaps it's going to have, are not Ben Affleck, because Zack Snyder is not one of my favorite directors. And I think the script to Man of Steel, there was a lot of problems with that. So this movie might not work on a lot of different levels before we even get to Ben's performance. But I had high hopes for the casting, and I guess I'm more disappointed by the choice of Ben Affleck than I was really upset that because it was particularly Ben Affleck. I guess I had other ideas for the potential for that. DJ Qualls would have been better. Yeah. Yeah, he would have been good.
Like him. Let me ask you this.
Isn't it amazing that somebody could be that eloquent and that passionately dead set against the casting of someone in a movie that he doesn't even intend to see? And you step back and you think, somebody will have sex with this man. Whose job is it to just bring down the teeming hatred, soothe the savage beast that is this guy?
Is it hatred, Kevin, or is it that I love too much?
No, man. He's going to rock it, dude. He's a really good actor. But also here, if you want gravitas... Ben Affleck has survived, like, just like Batman, who's been beaten time and again and comes back for more and stands up for the right thing. Ben Affleck Gigli, Jersey Girl, Surviving Christmas. These are his supervillains. No, he survived them and he's come back.
But you have to admit, in Gigli, he was truly awful. That's an awful performance in that film.
I don't think so.
You are a liar.
I'm not. I can't say that. No.
You have a relationship. There's a bull and a cow. And in this one, I'm the bull and you're the cow.
Yeah, okay, but he never did that in one of my movies, so no. That leads me to believe it's the direction, no?
But there are some
there's
actors
somebody who governs
could not
your performance.
Even be directed into that pile of crap.
I don't know. You're doing a Marty Brest movie. Marty Brest could do absolutely no wrong at this point in time. They let him make 3-hour movies. He'd made Meet Joe Black.
Right.
He's the guy who made Midnight Run. He's a legend, man, and you want to work with him. You love that movie. So you show up on the set of the dude who directed Midnight Run,
right,
and he tells you to do that, guess what you're going to do? You're going to do it for 80, 85 takes straight sometimes. Because why? I came to play with Marty Brest, and I believe what he's telling me. It's his movie, so I'm going to follow
so
what he's directing.
So anytime he's bad, it's the director.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Whatever you need. Whatever you need to sleep at night.
I'm telling you, I mean, that's the process. No, I've worked with actors. I've seen actors work. I've watched actors be interviewed. They always say the same thing. They put yourself
in the
director's
hands. Who's the director in the room, though? Is it you or me?
In what? What do you mean?
Who's the director here? You or me?
I direct.
In this room. Well, that's right.
Hey, can I ask you
guys? Job. Hey, before we dive into this, the most important casting aspect of the day came up. Did you guys talk about it?
Well, now
James Spader is playing Ultron in the Avengers movie.
We don't have time to get into that.
Ralph
tossed that
out yesterday, and we disappointed him with our lack of knowledge about it.
Because we don't know who Ultron is.
This is so
anyway.
Important to everybody in pop culture because this is an unofficial sequel to Less Than Zero. The last time that James Spader was the villain to Robert Downey Jr., he made him be a mouth prostitute in Palm Springs. If they bring just a touch of that to the Avengers,
I think they should bring that whole scene back.
Where somebody's like, I thought it was cool.
The armor, the helmet opens up on the Iron Man armor and his face is exposed. It would be awesome.
$3 billion it could make if they go that way.
Guys, can I squeeze in this question?
No!
I've been just sitting on for a while. And that is, here's the thing I don't understand about Superman versus Batman. Doesn't Superman win with just his pinky, like
Stop
any day
it.
Of the week?
Don't start that conversation.
No, I'm
it's
asking
because
I don't know.
Many
no,
times.
I don't know.
That's
how
why the movie's going to make $2 billion.
How
for
can
that,
Superman
for the
versus
layman,
Batman be a fight, though? That's what I don't understand.
That's why it's going to make the money for the layman who wants to know, how could this be possible? Superman could do anything. Batman's just a guy in a suit. And they're drawn into the drama of, like, yes, Batman is a man. That's the beauty of the Batman character. You're talking about it could be anybody. Well, maybe not me. I'm out of shape. But if you train really hard and your parents die and you have a lot of money,
if
those stars line up for you, you too could have a very depressing life going after and trying to jail villains you can never stop. But the beauty of Batman is we aspire to a Batman because Superman you can't aspire to. We could never be an alien from some other world with godlike powers. But Batman, well, maybe not some of us. But Batman, we could all be in some small way. The idea of, like, I'm just a guy who's putting on the suit trying to do the right thing. And then if you take that guy and pair him up with a god, you have a battle of a man versus a god. And somehow that man's going to hold his own. We all know that he cannot beat Superman physically. Because none of this stuff is real. But if you buy into it
right,
and you realize they can't beat each other, you respect the fact that Batman's going to have to beat Superman by his wits. Like, he's going to have to be as smart as possible to defeat the undefeatable foe. So that means probably developing some form of kryptonite or something like that. So that's what would draw people into the web of intrigue of a Batman versus Superman.
So
the
we
idea
need
of,
a weak Batman. That's what you're saying.
I mean, Batman's weak compared to Superman regardless. But I'm not biting his. I think Affleck is an amazing choice. I honestly never thought he would do it because at this point, why bother? But I think it's this simple. He's got a son. He's got a little kid.
Well,
in a couple of years, when he makes that movie, the kid's probably going to be, what, 3 or 4 or something like that? What dad doesn't want to be like, I'm Batman, to their own kid? That's the sweetest thing in the world, man.
He has two kids, doesn't he?
Well, he's got two daughters and a boy, doesn't he?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Like I said, I haven't spoken to him in a couple of years.
Kevin, some kind of child, boy, girl, whatever.
And Ralph Garman.
He's got a boy. I know he's got the boy, so you know he just wants to be able to be like, to his boy, like, your dad is Batman. That's an amazing thing to be. Also, let's let's be honest.
Nobody questions why he would do it.
Well, he's going to make a gazillion bucks.
Yeah. We know. He'll keep playing it forever. Would say yes. We don't know why they would ask him. That's the question we're
Makes
saying.
Absolute sense. He's a Robert Downey Jr. parallel, man. He at one point had some career trouble, and then all of a sudden, boom, dude comes back, and he's the spine of a universe. Affleck, to me, is as interesting, captivating, funny as Robert Downey Jr.
Why didn't they
He's a great Bruce Wayne.
To be and Plastic Man. He should have been Plastic
Man. Oh, stop it.
Or Martian Manhunter. There's a lot of other characters he could have been.
Does this conversation continue tonight?
No, we did it last week.
Yeah, we played it out
last week. But tonight, man, you could go to the Improv at 10 o'clock and see me and Ralph, if there's tickets left. Hollywood Babylon, man. And we'll talk about other things. I want to talk about James Spader's Ultron.
And the rumors about Bryan Cranston being Luther, which may or may not.
You heard that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
It would be awesome. In that.
See, does that turn you around? Does that make you come back?
That would be fascinating.
.com. That's where you can go for Hollywood Babylon tonight in Hollywood with Kevin Smith and Ralph Garvin. Kevin, great to see you again, my friend. Thanks so much for coming in.
Good seeing you.
So, Meta World Peace is going to be doing stand-up comedy. That's going to be tomorrow night at the Hollywood Improv. Do we expect he's going to show for that?
Oh, I would guess he would.
Okay, good. Because we certainly don't see him on our phone right now when we were supposed to talk to him about it.
We had him one time on our show, and that was after the Lakers won the championship, and he showed up in his uniform from the night before.
Yes. I love this guy, by the way. He's so fun, and I do hope we're able to get in touch with him. I know we've been telling you all day long we're going to have Meta on the phone, and hopefully that will still happen. First, though, why are you giving me so much grief about the decision I have made about tomorrow night?
Where to start? Bean does not go to cool things.
Right.
There are great events. There are great movies. There are great concerts. There are bands that he really wants to see. Concerts he really wants to see. Sporting events he really wants to see and doesn't.
He will talk about it like he's going.
Very excited.
Up to the last minute. Yeah. I'm going. We've talked to him Monday.
How was it? Didn't go.
Didn't go.
He
might
says,
have even had tickets. Didn't go.
So that's the cool stuff.
Right.
He says he's going to Tata Swindler. Tomorrow night, that she's playing someplace near his house, and he's really excited to go to the show. Mm-hmm. And there's a meet and greet for radio people. So he
has a really small group.
So I would think. So he has the chance to meet her. And he was saying a few minutes ago that he is, and I quote, because I wrote it down, too afraid.
Look, I'm sure Taylor would be lovely. She's known for being very gracious when she meets people. And I'm sure that this doesn't have anything to do with the fear of being disappointed by her. And I know sometimes people are worried about meeting, you know, the folks they admire a lot because then it could ruin their impression of them if they're mean or whatever. I don't think that would be the case with Taylor Swift. I just know that I would say something stupid and that I would regret it for the rest of my life, that I had that 15 seconds with somebody who I admire so much and I would spoil the moment for me.
And I find it funny that you could do anything with Tata Swindler that you would remember the rest of your life. You could have sex with her and you would forget it in 5 years.
I do not have a good memory.
What could possibly go that wrong?
I don't know.
Here's another quote. I'm not going to. I can't.
It just, you know what I'm saying?
What Lisa? a massive tool you are.
I feel like it would just be super awkward, and I hate
it. It will be, because all of her friends are girls and 14.
No, I mean, there are going to be other radio people, obviously, who are going to be there, who are going to step in, and they're going to have, you know, they're going to chat with her for a minute and get a photo taken and shake hands, and they're going to move on, and it's going to be fine. I just don't have enough confidence in my ability to manage that amount of time properly.
Let's talk to Taylor and find out what she thinks about
We don't have Taylor.
We do have Taylor. She's on the hotline. Dave got her instead of Metta World
Peace. I don't know what you're
talking
about. I don't know if I can talk to Taylor Swift. I think I'm already too nervous just hearing
about Taylor.
It. Oh, my God. I can't believe y'all are talking to me on the phone.
Don't you talk to people on the phone all the time? It's not really new technology.
Your voice is coming out of the phone, and my voice is coming out of the phone. You hear my voice, I'm hearing your voice.
Bean is I'll just say, older than your typical fan.
Oh, my God, he's 25?
No, even older than that. And
he's 26.
It's creepy. And
it's not creepy.
And he's very excited, according to him, to see your show tomorrow.
I am. Look, I've been to see Taylor Swift in concert before. She's a great
live performer. I had a fantastic time last time I went with
Please
the sister producer,
shut
Christine.
Up.
No, it doesn't matter that you don't care for her music. I do, and millions of other people do, and she puts on a terrific show. So I'm excited about the show. I'm going to go to the show. Taylor, I just don't think I could handle meeting you in person.
Oh, my God. I can't believe he said that. I'm sorry for my arm. I can't believe he said that.
That's not what you said at the MTV Video Music Awards the other night.
No, it's not.
You said shut the F up. Yeah, you sure did. That's what's happening
here,
huh?
That's my new thing. Instead of saying shut the F up, I say, I'm sorry for my arm.
Oh, I see. So he's just too nervous to meet you.
I can't believe you're nervous to meet me.
That's
well, of course I am.
I'm nervous to meet you.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
You should
you're
be scared.
Creepy.
Yes,
I'm
yes.
I'm not creepy. There's nothing creepy. It's not a creepy thing at all.
Oh, it's creepy.
Oh, my God. God, you're so creepy.
Yeah. It's not
I'm
at all
afraid
creepy.
You have duct tape and a box cutter.
No, I don't. I'm not bringing any
I'm
of that.
I'm afraid you have zip ties and no. and ether and a rag.
Nope, it's nothing like that.
Oh,
I just
my God,
come.
I'm afraid I'll be in your trunk by the end of the night.
Just want to enjoy. Why are you talking like that? I just want to enjoy
oh my God,
the show.
You're so scary.
And just go home and just live my life and just have fond
oh my
memories
God,
of the evening.
You're creepy and scary and you're missing organs.
What does that have to do with
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 4 minutes till 9.
Ralph is here. It is Friday morning. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What are you talking about, Ralph?
Thanks to our friends at TMZ.com. More details about the Lamar Odom driving under the influence bus this morning. It happened at 3:54 a.m. Lamar was driving a white Mercedes SUV when he was stopped by the CHP on the 101 freeway for going too slow, which isn't something you often hear when it comes to DUI cases. Now, keep in mind, DUI, although we immediately think of alcohol, actually stands for driving under the influence of alcohol and or drugs.
Right.
So we don't know exactly what substance Lamar may have been on when he was booked and is now being held on $15,000 bail. But the cops say he was driving 50 miles an hour on the freeway.
Okay.
Driving in,
according
to the report, a serpentine manner.
Oh.
What does that mean?
Serpentine, Kevin, is means snake-like. Means going,
okay.
weaving
all
like
over
this.
The road.
Looking like just a big boa constrictor. Mm. Many curves. Aren't a lot of curves on the 101.
Yeah.
That you would take in that style. Law enforcement pulled him, well, when I say pulled over, I mean threw on their lights and sirens, and Lamar drove 3 exits further down the road before coming to a stop.
Wow.
Law enforcement sources tell TMZ that he showed obvious signs of intoxication, failed numerous field sobriety tests. When he was booked, he refused all chemical tests, so we may not know for a while what he may have been smoking or drinking or what have you, but according to the Highway Patrol, he was a danger to himself and others.
Sure in a spiral, isn't he?
Yeah.
Have you guys,
Serpentine, Shell, serpentine! That's all I can think of is that movie The In-Laws, every time I hear the word serpentine.
Have you guys ever been on the freeway and the lights go on and they got you, or the cop pulls out and he's behind you and he's got you, and you've thought just for a moment, I'm going to try to get away?
No. I've never thought that.
I'm going to go for it.
No.
It's never even occurred. Never crossed your mind, even for a second. Hey, maybe I can outrun this guy.
What the hell? Who thinks that except the losers who get caught for trying to evade the police?
Turns out I don't have 2 strikes, so I'm okay.
Kevin's being oddly quiet.
No, I'm with the nose.
I'm sure
I'm with everyone that's
thought of it.
Really, you've never thought about it, Kevin.
Of course, Kevin.
I'm not saying you've done it. I'm not saying you've done it, but I'm saying it's crossed your mind. Hey, I wonder. Hey, look how far away the next exit is.
Every time he's ever been stopped by a police officer, I guarantee you, he has that mentality of like, I could probably do this. I could probably gun it and get away from these cops.
You don't know, man.
Yeah, I do know.
Guilty.
I ran from my own foot once when I was
you
a kid.
You did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can get
That's
away from
exciting.
My foot.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, sure.
I could
jump
hide
a fence
behind
or
something,
sure.
Jump a fence, get behind a bush or something. That I could pull off. But you can't do it in your car. That's just that's a lose-lose. Plus, I was in my underwear. So it was very important for me not
Why
to be stopped by the police.
Running?
It's a long story.
Why were you
it's
running?
It's a long story.
The cops in your underwear.
We don't have time for it now. But it was a long story, and they did catch me underneath a car in my underwear.
So I wasn't as evasive as I thought I may be. But
Paul McCartney. I don't have any time for Paul McCartney. We'll do that in the next showbiz beat. I'll play Paul McCartney's new song, only because it's hard to believe that this man wrote some of the great pop songs of all time. Yesterday, Maybe I'm Amazed, Let It Be. When you hear his new song, you're going to think he's a pirate.
Yeah.
He sings now like a pirate. Like everything.
He's not heading in the right direction.
Everything has to, you have to have a flagon of mead in your hand and an eye patch, and you have to be on top of a sailing vessel, and everything's a drinking song now for Paul McCartney. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lisa Ling is 40 years old today. Actress Cameron Diaz turns 41. Lars Fredriksson of Rancid is 42 years old. Accomplished actor Michael Chiklis. Boy, is he good. 50 years old today. And one of my favorite comedians ever, Louis Black, turns 65 years old today. And I'm so old, I fart dust. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Hold on a sec. Wait a second here. Ralph, we got problems here.
Kevin Amico.
What?
Watch. Kevin, is there anything that you can think of, Ralph, that Kevin should be allowed to be a judge of? Anything. Kevin should be allowed to judge other people.
Let me think. No, under no circumstances, for any reason.
What's happening, Kevin? How are you not only a judge, but apparently a head judge at a thing that people go to? People are supposed to impress you?
I found out that yesterday I was a head judge at the Red Bull Flutog. I'm the head judge.
That's the competition where people haphazardly make reckless vehicles and then plunge into icy waters?
Yeah.
Well, that I can see you judging.
You're really like creativity and showmanship.
It has to do with disasters and poor thinking.
and it celebrates disasters and poor thinking.
Then I think that's the one thing that you might actually be able to judge, given your track record.
All right. So sloppy work ethic and not thinking things through properly and putting yourself and your family in danger.
And,
poor decisions.
And pointless, reckless behavior. Then I can absolutely see Kevin judging that.
I'm all about that.
When is all this, and how do people find out more about it?
It's September 21st, and you can go to the website, and I'm the head judge. That's all you need to know, really.
Wow.
Yeah, you're the head judge.
Well, I mean,
that's why they call it head judge.
Ralph,
people want some preferential treatment.
With our final showbiz beat of the week here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You know, they should just call Labor Day No Bean Day. That's what they should call it.
Just because we have an extra day of no beans?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking. When you think you have a day off, you go, I don't have to hear Bean. That's what they should call it. Because as I sat here and I heard him wonder whether he's going to go to Denny's again today and get pancakes. And yesterday, of course, he went to Denny's because Thursday's Denny's day.
That's what we were listening to instead of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
It can just break a man. Here's what can happen. It can just wear you down. So we get Monday off. Which
yes.
Is nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also want to give you a heads up. Monday, there's a new show on Hulu called Quick Draw. It's a comedy western. The episode that I did with those guys over there at Quick Draw, I'm the guest star of the episode on Monday. So the new episode drops on Monday.
You may want to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. It's a live action comedy western from the people who brought you 10 Items or Less, John Lehrer and Nancy Hauer. And it's an improv sitcom where all the dialogue is made up.
You have a stash or no stash?
Oh, yeah. I grew the stash initially for that.
All right.
And then I kept the stash for Seth MacFarlane's Western.
You're becoming the go-to guy for Westerns.
Suddenly,
in
Hollywood. I'm John Wayne. Yeah. I don't know how all of a sudden I'm getting all this Western work.
It's bizarre.
I spent all my time on the ranch in Philadelphia where I grew up on horseback there on Broad Street.
You're well suited for this, then, this late career development.
So I want to give you a heads up about Monday if you're a fan of, or if you're not, just go to Hulu and download the new Quick Draw on Monday and watch the other ones. It's been on for a couple weeks now. It's very, very funny. And I want to give away our final pairs of tickets for the Riddick screening.
Yay!
Vin Diesel returns in the role that made him, well, one of the roles that made him a big star. Vin Diesel, Carl Urban, Katie Sackhoff, great cast. The return of Riddick in the third of the Riddick films. We have got a very special K-Rock advance screening on September the 4th at the AMC Burbank 16. And then Riddick will be in theaters next Friday on September the 6th. But you will have seen it 2 days before everyone else if you're one of the lucky callers right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers who get through will get a pair of tickets to go see Riddick. And speaking of Riddick, I was so happy to read this story.
Okay.
And you can say what you want about Vin Diesel. Some people question his talent as a thespian. Certainly a bona fide action star with the Fast and the Furious films and the Riddick films. Here's the thing I love about this story, is that in a world where we see time and time again very rich celebrities going on to Kickstarter and other crowdfunding sites to ask fans to give them money so that they can make their movies.
Right.
The Zach Braffs and the Spike Lees and these people who certainly have a lot of money and could ask their wealthy friends probably to invest their films. They're going to the people taking nickels and dimes from orphans. They're mugging,
not forcing
they're
it.
Mugging shoeshine boys at the at train stations to give them their money. Vin Diesel, in order to finance Riddick, put his house up.
Whoa!
Yeah, mortgaged
his
home.
That's an extra step.
Mortgaged his home to make this film.
Why was there any trouble getting financing for Riddick? I would think that Hollywood would be excited about that.
You would think, and so did he and director-writer David Toohey. But for 9 years, they tried to find financing for this film, and no one would help them out. So in order to get it made, Vin Diesel had to put his home, take another mortgage out on his home. And he said, I had to leverage my house. If we didn't finish the film, I would be homeless, he said. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I find it refreshing that an actor or a filmmaker would bet on themselves with their own money rather than and begging and panhandling in the streets like a common hobo.
Yeah.
So
he probably put a second mortgage on one of his homes.
How dare you, sir? He could have been homeless. He would have been living in a homeless shelter. He would have been asking for soup in the lines with the bums and the meth addicts. What that would have sounded like, Kevin, if he was in line looking for soup? What would Vin Diesel have sounded like?
You're not afraid of the dark, are you?
Yeah!
The only line I have. Don't ask me to ad lib.
Why isn't Kevin on your little improv Western comedy show?
I don't know. With those gifts, the ability to throw improv lines like that around. All right, we've been following this story all morning. Sad news from TMZ.com. Lamar Odom was arrested early this morning for driving under the influence of drugs and or alcohol. 3:54 a.m. this morning, he was driving a white Mercedes SUV on the 101 freeway in the San Fernando Valley when the California Highway Patrol noticed not only was he driving too slow, 50 miles an hour on the freeway, but was driving in a serpentine manner, they say in their report. That means just weaving back and forth amongst the lanes. Lamar wisely did not choose to stop for the police initially. Drove three additional exits down the freeway before finally came to a stop.
Don't they usually take action before three exits?
I guess if you're going 50, nobody really is worried about it. We'll get there eventually. He'll stop eventually.
Huh.
I don't think they throw up the spike strips if you're just cruising down there at 50 and it's 3:54 in the morning.
I feel like if you or I passed three exits, we'd be in a lot more trouble.
That's probably true. Law enforcement officials say he showed obvious signs of intoxication. Then Lamar failed numerous field sobriety tests. When he was booked, he refused all chemical tests, according to TMZ. So, wait and see what he was on, but the guy's having a lot of problems these days.
Yeah.
Look, he's married to Chloe. Come on. What else? What? You know, go into court with that defense, Lamar. Just represent yourself.
Stand up.
Stand up. Say to the judge, I'm married to Chloe Kardashian.
Dismissed.
Dismissed. And give the guy a pretzel or something, too, on the way out. Give him a hot dog. They'd feed him, too. They'd feel bad for the guy. Because he doesn't get any food at home. It's more Chloe. That's all I'm saying. Believe it or not, Paul McCartney's still a thing. Yes, the legendary Beatle. Wing. Solo career. He's been around in the music industry for, I don't know, what do you got, 50 years?
Yeah, 50 years.
He is still releasing new music. Got a new album called New. Wow. See what he did with his new CD?
Put a lot of work into that.
He sure did. And the title track, New, was released today officially on his website. Paul McCartney also said, I have no real interest in writing songs anymore. Well, he said it through his music.
Yeah.
He didn't really say it, you know, out loud.
Just give an example of that thinking.
Here's a little taste of his new song, New, and you tell me if he's given up hope. You came along and made my life a song. One lucky day, you came along.
As we choose, Jared Smith. We got nothing to lose, and we can choose, and we skip down the lane, and I hope it don't rain. Just stop it. Just stop writing songs to skip to. That's all he writes now.
Very McCartney-esque, isn't it?
Yes, if it's just...
You should call it Songs to Skip To.
Songs You Can Skip To by Paul McCartney. There's more depth, there's more meaning in the songs that I watched from the Fresh Beat Band with my three-year-old in the afternoons. Come on, Paul McCartney! Someone play Let It Be for him. It's like, do that! Paul McCartney. Then you came along, and my life was a song, and I needed a rhyme, and you were in time. Stop it!
So you like it?
Yeah, it's good. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these people were born on August the 30th. That's today. Comedian Louis Black, one of my favorite all-time comedians, is 65 years old today. If you ever get a chance to see Lou live, you will cry.
Yeah, that's great.
Michael Chiklis is 50. Lars Fredriksson of Rancid is 42 years old. Cameron Diaz turns 41. And TV personality Lisa Ling turns 40 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great long weekend, everybody. We will see you on Tuesday morning with an all-new show.
We'll still hang out, though, right, Ralph? Monday, you and me?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hello, ladies. How are you? Fantastic.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, welcome to Con Air.
Roll another one.
How can you love it? It's crap.
Just like the other one.
Score some drugs.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Recognize!
And I need another hit.
We're laughing, and boom! Out of nowhere, we're singing and humming the tunes. Why? Why would we do that? I'll tell you why. Because the songs kick F and S.
Paul McCartney from the Beatles?
Just like the other one.
Survey says, you.
This one seems to be about sent.
The storm is coming.
I don't have another cent.
I promise you, and this comes from years of experience, women are never right.
But don't walk out that joint.
Okay, explain the pink.
Let's pass it around.
So I got that one.
You are loud and clear.
Just pass it on down.
Congratulations, universe. You win.
Get out of here. Now. Excuse me? Never come back here. Do you understand me? Go.
I'm done, dude. I'm really not. I'm losing hope and focus right now. Can we just go get Flame Broiler now?
You're going without saying goodbye?
Bye, Ma.
Bye.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.